issue of state capture has been in our lexicon for several years now. And when we think of state capture, we should not just think of grand corruption when it comes to tenders, when it comes to the cooking of dabbling in the national fiscus. We should also see it as the erosion of our state institutions, our key sectors within our society, like the police, like our intelligence community, like our national prosecuting authority, and what is being done at the moment to try and build the integrity of those institutions. Over the last few weeks, as the details regarding the murder of anti-gang detective Charles Kinnear becomes clearer, it's also drawing to light the possible involvement of crooked cops and the involvement of rogue forces within our crime intelligence bodies. Mo Sheikh is the former head of the National Intelligence Agency. He joins me now with a specific interest and a specific experience in how intelligence is conducted, not only in South Africa, but also around the world. Mo, thanks so much for joining us this morning on The Big Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Lester. Let me just quickly correct the title. I was the former head of the South African Secret Service, which is the foreign branch, the Foreign Intelligence Agency, basically.
Thank you so much.
But I am well-versed with the topics you're raising.
Is my summary correct that state capture has not only affected the integrity of our national fiscus and who is stealing money where, but also eroding the confidence and eroding the structures of key society institutions like the police in general, but also crime intelligence and national intelligence in specific terms?
Lester, I would agree with you that state capture has in fact been a catalyst in the sense that the capacity for the state to deal with crime and the specialization of crime that is happening in our country has put that institutional capacity decline on steroids. Mm. And the issue has been that the overall architecture, the capacity that we once had in 1994, is no longer matches the problem that we have today. And as such, policymakers, and I'm glad you've got Peter Gastro in there, because he would talk about the big debates that we were having in the early 90s through the negotiation process about what should be the architecture and the structure of the police services and the law enforcement agencies, etc. So the point I'm making, Les, is that where we are today, for a whole lot of reasons, and part of those reasons, and a significant part of that reason, could be state capture. Mm. What we actually have today is organizational design that does not fit the reality that we are experiencing on the ground.
Now, when South Africa opened its borders in 1994, it opened its borders not only to the world in terms of tourists, in terms of diplomatic relationships, it also opened up its borders to organized crime. Not saying that organized crime was not involved in South Africa before, but with the opening of South Africa, its opening of its borders to the rest of the continent, it became a key playground for particularly organized crime in reaching its tentacles, using South Africa as a base and going into the rest of Africa.
Absolutely correct. And that is the consequences of globalization. When you globalize or you integrate into a globalized economy, you don't only take the benefit of legitimate trade and legitimate movement of people. You take into account, or you take into your country, the illegitimate parts of things. And let me give you a classic example. And I hope I pronounce it right. Naupe is a drug that is on the streets. You know, it is a very, very potent drug, very addictive. It is spreading very fast in the townships, causing massive socioeconomic problems. But Naupe is a heroin-based drug, and heroin is produced in, you know, the way out in the east, in Asia. So how does Naupe make its way into South Africa? Well, it does it precisely by the things you have mentioned, through borders, through smuggling routes, etc. And I think the time has come to match the problem that we are facing in South Africa, for us to relook at the whole concept of policing and law enforcement in our country. And maybe the time has come for specialized agencies like the South Africa's version of the FBI. Maybe we need to look at provincial policing different from national policing. Maybe we need to look at local policing, etc. And I know one of the problems in our own country is that there is a general decline to the very concept of service and to the very concept of what it is to serve.
And this is something that you mentioned at the Zonder Commission of Inquiry, where you said that you believe that the role of a minister, that you don't, as a head of intelligence, shouldn't necessarily report to a political head, thereby leaving him or her free from any political interference.
That is absolutely correct. And often there's a confusion in the constitutional provision that allows for a minister to be appointed in the intelligence services. Mm. I am not saying that you should not have a minister altogether. But you don't have to have a dedicated minister for the administrative functions of the intelligence services. Under the time of Mandela, the minister was indeed the Minister of Justice. We need to relook at those kind of concepts where you have the Minister of Justice or the minister, and it could be the Minister of Home Affairs, or whichever minister, a sitting member of cabinet, who is designated to perform the administrative supervision of the intelligence services. So, you know, the salary increases, the issues that goes with the administration of the department, that could be designated to a minister of cabinet, and then allow the director general or the head of the unit to report directly to the president.
Mo, there was a report by former Minister Sydney Mufumadi that was commissioned by President Cyril Ramaphosa on the political interference that happened within our intelligence structures. And Sydney Mufumadi found that there was gross interference from political actors to undermine the constitution of South Africa and also to undermine political opponents in South Africa. That then leaves our intelligence officers playing political games and not necessarily protecting the integrity of the South African state. What is being done in the meantime to undo that?
Well, that's one of the big problems. And again, it is a failure at a few levels. But one of the areas in which there is a significant failure is parliamentary oversight of the intelligence services. And I think that needs to be revitalized. That needs to be re-energized. And then there's the role of the Inspector General of Intelligence. Then there is the role of the judicial supervision in terms of any interception has to be given by a judge. So there's a whole lot of system of checks and balances of the intelligence services that were designed, and they are in the constitution and in law. And part of the problem is that the institutions of the people who occupy those positions are not playing the role that they should be playing. And I think
Mo Sheikh, the former Director General of the South African Secret Service, unfortunately